Thank you, Jerry. King and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Amen. Welcome. Today is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to mothers. And any lady is considered a mother when they nurture someone under them or whatever. So we can all say we're mothers. Any announcements? Okay, there are flowers in the back for Mother's Day. Each lady of the church, please make sure you take a flower with you. That's just a small token of our love here at Monocacy for each and every one of you. Let's see. Bible school meeting. Boy, somebody might have to text me because I've been having so many things going on, and I have it on my phone and don't hear my phone go off, but... Okay, so Bible school meeting tomorrow evening at 6, isn't it? Bible school. Bible school. I'm getting to the next one. We have too many, a lot of Bible. Bible school meeting with Kelly tomorrow evening here at 6. Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 here. And it'll be our last lesson in Romans. With that being said, I have an announcement. You will find that there are resumes back there from Pastor Ed. Pastor Ed sent me a little something this week just for you to get to know him, his family, what he's done, you know, as far as ministry. We have come to an agreement with Pastor Ed. I said Sam, didn't I? Okay, because I tell you... Yeah, okay. Pastor Ed, hit on the back bench when you leave, grab one and you can read and get to know him a little better. Most of you have heard his sermons, which are awesome. Just like this young man, awesome. And he has agreed to be our pastor. But the next step is we must take a vote, a congregational vote. So next Sunday, we will do a vote by ballot, yes or no. I can't imagine there'd be any no's, but whatever. But anyway, so anyone that's usually not here that you see, please call them. Say, hey, we're voting on Pastor Ed Sunday. You know, if you want to participate in that and have your voice heard, please come. So next Sunday, the 21st. Be here to make a vote, to take a vote. I think the Lord has blessed us, and I think, you know, we've been waiting for a long time, and I believe this is God's will, so, but we have to do the formalities. Did I miss anything? Okay. Are there any other announcements? Okay. Now, call to worship comes from Proverbs 6, Verses 20 through 22. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart, tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Father, we do roam and wander around, and Father, but we always ask that you be our guide, that you be right there on the path with us to keep us on the straight and narrow. Father, we thank you for all the many gifts and blessings you give us throughout the year. We ask these favors and blessings in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, hymn number 326. For those who can, please stand and make a joyful noise. Okay, now we'll bow our heads for a word of prayer over the offering box. Dear Heavenly Father, we have brought our love gifts to you. Please bless each giver and the gift, and may it be used wisely for your purpose and in your name. And it is in the precious name of Jesus we ask for blessings. Amen. Okay, sharing joys and concerns. Well, it's a joy to have Pastor Larry here, and I can't wait to hear the message. Word is like chicken and waffles. Makes me hungry. So, okay, who wants to start, Maxine? Okay.
I'm thankful for state travels this week.
Yes, that was a blessing. Wanda?
Please keep Frances in her prayers. She had her capitalization of the heart on Friday. There's no blockages, so that is a blessing. And hopefully next week they'll do. She has to have her aorta valve replaced.
Okay.
I'm speaking for Ricky, for the Baker family.
Yes.
At least keep the Baker family in your prayers. They all need prayer.
I have them right here on my list. I'm way ahead of you. Yes, it's been a trying week for Uncle Junior and Aunt Dorothy's children. Just keep them lifted. Others? Okay. He said for those that may not know, Alan did pass on Tuesday. He was only 57. Okay. I'd like to keep Ashley Hurley's little girl on the prayer list, Serenity. I was talking with Joanne, and she said that something to do with Serenity's joints, if they just go to put her little jacket on or something, her joint may slip out. And she's been to, I think she said Hershey, so hospital for a consultation. So please keep them in your prayers. Keep Pastor Ed in your prayers. He already, he told us that it would be 3 to 6 months having that reader in. And they already called him and set up the 23rd for his pacemaker. So they've got their reading quickly. So the 23rd, he will be having a pacemaker. Keep him in our prayers. Any?
I want to keep my cousin Wanda.
Yes.
And also with them, they're traveling and decided to take a little trip. And I have some unspoken requests as well.
It'd be good for her to get away a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, the Sunday school lesson today, think about this. When just at the smallest gesture, if you're on the phone with somebody, say you're on the phone with a service tech or something, and they sound a little disgruntled or whatever, a little down, and after they help you with your issue, and you tell them, give them thanks, and say, you have a blessed rest of your day, you can hear their voice immediately lift up and say, oh, thank you so much. So just remember, even just a small gesture, a small phrase, can make a difference in someone's day. Any others? We want to keep the Myers family too, Rodman Myers' family, in our prayers also for the loss of Patty. Is that it?
just as a reminder, those who have been suffering in our congregation, all of them, we want to continue to keep all of them.
Yes, that would be Pat and Linda and Bob. Ralph, he's A1. He's okay. He's doing good. Although he is really doing good the last couple weeks, I think since the weather changed and the sun shines bright. So, and let's keep our military in our prayers. This Mother's Day, I know Elijah would like to be home with Mom and Grandmom, and so would Caleb like to be home with Kathy and his grandmother. So let's just keep those young men and women that are out there that can't be home with mothers this day.
Has anybody
had
an update on Miss Dolores?
Miss Dolores, as far as I know, she's doing good. She keeps in contact with me, but I haven't heard. But she has been going with her friend there in Walkersville to her church because Miss Dolores is not allowed to drive, at least not now, and it may not ever transpire because of her blood pressure issue. So, but it wouldn't hurt to stop, drop a card and say, hey, thinking of you, miss you, you know. But as far as I know, she's doing well. She just is not driving. All right, any others? That's our schools. Each day when you pray for your leadership, I always specifically pray for our government, our educational systems, and our spiritual guidance, because some of them are even off track today. Yeah. Okay, any others? Okay, let's come before the Lord how you are most fit. Oh, dear sweet Father, once again, we come to you to just thank you for all that you are and all that you have done for us. We think back that perfect gift that you sent to the world in the form of a babe that one day grew into a man. And that man died for our sins on an old rugged cross. The very last sacrifice was your son. And we just thank you for your love, for your plan of salvation, your gift of grace, and your gift of Jesus. We could go on and on, all the gifts and blessings that you shower upon us. Father, now the list is always long, and before we even speak it, we know that you know all things. But we just feel more at ease when we can talk to you and let you know what's on our heart. Father, we think of those families that are mourning the loss of loved ones this past few weeks. Father, we just ask that you would keep your loving arms around them, that sweet memories of their loved one would flood their mind and their thoughts, that would somehow bring a little smile and a little touch of joy just thinking about them instead of sorrow. Father, we want to lift up to you the Baker family, the Troxler Miller family, the Myers family. Father, we think of traveling mercies. You have blessed those that have came to Maryland this week and those that have traveled to Pennsylvania. And now when the ones returning back from the gatherings, that give them safe travels also. And Father, we just thank you for our grandson Colton, who made it home safely from school. Father, we see many, many works each day. The night before Colton was to leave you, when he was driving to work, he hit something and blew out a tower. So he had to wait and leave a little later yesterday, but he made it home. I can't somehow help think, Father, that you just knew that he needed to leave at a certain time to be safe in his travels. So, Father, I just thank you for your many blessings and many mercies. Father, we lift up to you Ashley's little girl, Serenity. Give the doctors the knowledge to know what's going on with her. Just touch her little body, Father. Heal her. And be with Ashley, because young moms worry. And Father, we just want her to know that you are with her there every step of the way. We think of Francis. Oh, you just make things move smoothly and quickly so she can have her procedure, get back home, and recuperate. We saw how her eyes light brighten up and her smile when she sees her little great-grandchildren. In a visit yesterday, as soon as they come in to see Mama, oh, what a blessing to see a grandmother smile and her eyes light up. So, Father, we just ask that you would bless her with healing. Father, we think of Pastor Ed. Help him just touch the doctors and guide them as they do their procedure. It's a simple procedure, but, Father, we want you there no matter simple or what the circumstances are. We want you there. We want your healing hand in the midst. Father, we think of Cousin Wanda, who's traveling. Give them safe travels and let her be refreshed and keep your healing hand upon her. We have many unspoken prayers. We think of others that are battling the illnesses of cancer, like Woody and Phil. And we just pray for salvation for our families, Father. For we want to know that when our time comes to go home, that our loved ones will be there waiting and there'll be loved ones to follow. Father, we think of our congregation, Pat, Linda, Bob, Ralph, and so many others that are ailing this day. You just touch them from their head to their toes in a mighty way. Heal them and lift them up. Father, we think of our schools. Oh, my Father, that's quite a task. But we know nothing's too great for you. For you created all, and you are all. And we just put that into your hands, that we may one day have a school system that starts their day off with prayer, and that they teach what is true and just, and not all this silliness. Father, we think of our military, our police, our first responders. Lift them up, Father. Guide them. Keep your hand of safety upon them. Keep a special blessing in your hand of safety upon Caleb, Elijah, Kyle, Ian, so many more. Father, we just put them into your care. Father, we just ask that one day this country would be united, and that we would one day again be one nation under God. We pray, oh dear Lord, we pray that your blessings would return to this land, that your people would humble themselves, come to you, ask forgiveness, and seek your guidance and your wisdom. Father, now lastly, we just, not that he is last by any means, but we want to lift up Pastor Larry, for we know that he has studied and meditated this week, and may his words behind this desk, may your words flow freely through him, and may we as partakers of the service keep our ears and our hearts and our minds adjusted to what he's saying. Father, we just ask a special blessing upon him and his good wife, Deb, and give him safe travels to and from also, for he has a good distance to travel, Father. So we just thank you for the blessing of having him this morning. And now we unite our hearts and our prayers in that most perfect prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, it's your time to participate again. Please stand and sing number, 323? Again? Oh, boy.
Again.
We just had it a couple weeks ago. Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. But we just had it last month. Yeah. I love this song. Yep, I even have that on my stone out there. Maybe I better get a text Monday night, because see, I done forgot about the song being in the email. So, the scripture reading today comes from Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104. And as you see, the sermon title is God's Word is Like Chicken and Waffles. Yes, indeed. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments. For you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Amen. Can't wait to hear this sermon, Brother Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm in the midst of trying to fight a head cold, so if I sound different, that's why. And when I communicated with Deb early in the week, she said, I hope you're going to sing for us. And I had a song picked, but with this voice, I can't. I tried again this morning before I left home, and I just can't. So, but I was looking forward to being with you. I know that you're moving towards extending a call perhaps to Ed, and I know Pastor Ed well. In fact, I kind of made the connection. If this works out, I'm going to feel like I helped make the connection. Realize that when that happens, it's been some quite a number of months. I've been with you about once a month or more, and when this prayer is answered and you call a new pastor, I won't get to see as much. And so I really wanted to come today, even if my voice wasn't very good. I haven't been going around shaking everybody's hands. I don't want to be Typhoid Larry, so I won't go to the back. Then if you wanna come and talk to me. From a distance or up, I mean, that's up to you, but I don't want to be spreading germs. I don't need to, but it has been, boy, it's been a real blessing for me to be coming here to share with you through these months, and certainly have been praying for your next step of permanent pastor in that position, and if that's the Lord's will and that unfolds, I will continue to pray for you and be happy for you. And maybe you'll remember when your new pastor needs a Sunday off or vacation or something. Maybe you'll remember to call my way. But yeah, I could do that. I want to also add Happy Mother's Day to everyone, as I always say, by blood and by spirit. Because as Deb so wonderfully said, in a church family, there are many sisters who become like spiritual mothers and grandmothers to us. And how precious is that? And so thank you, sisters, for your part in the life of the church, for your hard work on behalf of your families. We do appreciate it, and we wish you well today. This isn't especially a Mother's Day message, other than we're going to talk about favorite foods, and usually it's mom and grandma that make those favorite foods, you know, and so whatever your specialty is. It was last Monday evening that my wife Deb and I took my daughter Jessie and her two boys, Jericho and Jackson, out to supper for Jess's 35th birthday. And she got to pick the place, and she picked IHOP, International House of Pancakes. Could have taken her for a fine steak, but she went to go to IHOP. I noticed in their menu, chicken and waffles. Favorite of mine, and so I ordered it, and when it came out, it was four chicken tenders, fried strips of chicken, and a waffle. What? That is not chicken and waffles. What's your favorite meal? Anybody want to just kind of holler out? What's your very favorite meal? Somebody says you can have any meal tonight that you want. What would you order? Ribeye, good steak.
Lobster.
Alaskan
crab legs.
Crab legs, we got some seafood going here.
Seafood.
Yeah. Everyone's starting to salivate now. That perfectly prepared steak served sizzling on the platter. That fresh caught seafood prepared just right and dripping with butter. Maybe a special recipe that mom or grandma used to make. My mom was famous for a chocolate cake. She just called it scotch cake, and I don't know where the scotch came from. It was like dark, dark, dark chocolate and very moist, and we never put icing on it. We always just ate it plain, usually with ice cream on it. And as we think about these favorite meals, we can begin to see them in our mind, can't we? We can begin to smell it and almost taste it. You know, we're in a time, like many of us who want to eat healthier and perhaps take off some weight. Certainly I think about that sometimes. Beware of the teaching out there that food is just fuel. When you get into some of the weight loss programs, they want to teach you that food is simply fuel. No, that's not biblically right. From a biblical standpoint, food is much more than that. From a biblical standpoint, food is a symbol of God's provision. Food is a symbol of hospitality. food is a symbol of family and friend fellowship. God designed food to be savored and to be enjoyed. Think about when he's creating the whole universe for us, he could have created a simple green protein block that grew on a tree. Just a green block that would have everything we needed in it, all the vitamins, everything we needed in it. He could have done that. But no, he created food with a wide diversity of colors and textures and tastes and aromas. There's sweet and there's spicy, there's bitter and there's strong and there's mellow. God designed food for our pleasure. Now, of course, food can be abused. Overeating can become an addiction just like other things. But we need to be honest with ourselves about that. But the reason I got on food today is as we turn to this portion of Psalm 119, which Sister Deb read for us, the psalm writer makes a comparison between food and God's Word. And he savors the Bible like a great meal. Dr. Jeremiah was kind of talking about that in Sunday school, about savoring God's Word. So, again, I'll have you think about what is your favorite meal, and you've probably guessed by now mine is chicken and waffles. Real chicken and waffles. Is anyone here that's not from a Pennsylvania Dutch, Pennsylvania German kind of understanding, be clear what I'm talking about. Not some fried chicken served with a waffle. No, that's not chicken waffles. What I'm talking about is a thick chicken gravy, creamy and savory, filled with big chunks of chicken. And then that's slathered all over the waffle. And often served with mashed potatoes, so we're going to pile in the carbs. And we're going to cover that all with the chicken gravy, too. So two nights after I ate this week with my daughter and the children and Deb and I and had my IHOP chicken and waffles, two nights later, I was working at my home at Lake Mead, which I have sold now, and I'm in the process of getting it all emptied out. And some of you have been through that. You know what a mess that is. My son was in the storage area in the basement, and we're handing out boxes, and I'm going through stuff. And I said, you know, son, this is something you're supposed to do after I die. I'm not supposed to have to go through all this now. You know, so, but there we were. And when we were finished, later in the afternoon, I was really hungry, ready for supper. So I stopped at Gray Bill's restaurant in Abbottstown. Maybe some of you know that good little restaurant. And guess what was on the menu? Chicken and waffles. And when they came out, they set that large hot platter in front of me. It was a delight to the eyes. The aroma was wonderful. And the taste was amazing. This was real chicken and waffles, and this was comfort food. And the psalm writer today says, how sweet are your promises to my taste. He savors God's word. And so I wonder, as we think about it in those terms, do we approach the Word of God with that kind of delight? The same as when you were thinking about favorite meals, memories came and anticipation came and when's this sermon over so I can get the lunch? You know, do we savor God's Word that same way? So let's pray, and then we're going to dig in a little bit to this portion of Psalm 119. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning, this Mother's Day, and again, bless our dear mothers and grandmothers by blood and by spirit. Thank you for their impacts in our lives, and thank you now for this opportunity to open your Word. Would you come and teach us by your Holy Spirit, and would you feed us with the delight of your Word? Open our hearts and minds to your truth. Allow this poor messenger to be in the background and your perfect truth to be front and center. Thank you, Lord. Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle Shepherd, come and feed us, for we need your strength from day to day. There's no other we can turn to who will help us find another way. Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need your strength from day to day. Amen. Let's begin by sharing some details about amazing Psalm 119. If you have your Bible, please open it to Psalm 119, because I want you to see a couple things about it. We're going to look at eight little verses, but Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. And it's at the center of your Bible. Now, depending on how much introductory kind of pages are in your particular Bible and how many maps and concordances and things might be in the back, sometimes it doesn't seem that way. But if you took just the essence of the Bible proper, you'd find that Psalm 119 is right in the middle, as though God is saying, all that comes before and all that comes after is true here. It's an acrostic. Do you know what an acrostic is? There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and this psalm has 22 stanzas of 8 verses each, and in each one of those stanzas, the first letter in each line is from that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now all that gets lost, of course, in English. My old NIV here shows the Hebrew letter before each stanza. Maybe yours has that. But think about an acrostic. 22 stanzas, 8 verses each one beginning with, and each line in that stanza beginning with that letter from the alphabet. So it would be like, to try and give you a mental picture, it would be like, first stanza would be A, and so it would be, always trust God's word, and don't look anyplace else for guidance. Be careful to study God's word carefully. Belong to the group of people that truly trust his word. And on. See, can you see how good God's word is? You see what I'm saying? And that's how it is. And it all gets lost in English, but it's a very interesting format. And here's the thing. The whole 22 stanzas, 8 verses, longest psalm in the Bible, longest chapter in the Bible, it's all about God's word. The longest chapter in the Bible is all about God's word. And it uses, throughout all these verses, it uses 8 different words that speak about God's word. And they vary a little in your different translations, but in my NIV, those 8 words are laws, statutes, precepts, commands, decrees, words, ways, promises. And the one thing to be careful of is we don't need to get hung up on what's the difference between a precept and a statute and a command. No. This is poetry. And in the context of this psalm and this poetry, all those words simply mean God's word. So if he says, I love your promises, it means I love God's word. If he says, I want to follow your statutes, I want to follow God's word. So they all point us to God's word. And here it is, right in the middle of the Bible, as if God is saying, and all this word that comes before, Old Testament up to here, and all this that will come after, the rest of the Old Testament and the New, it's all true to what I'm saying here. So it's a wonderful psalm. You could take, and I've challenge people to do this sometimes, you could take the 22 verses, 8 stanzas, you could read it in a minute, and go through a month where you take one of those stanzas each day and read it and reflect on it a little bit. But the truth is that today, the time we're living in, more than ever, it's critical that every believer have absolute clarity, 20/20 vision, if you will, about what the Bible really is. Because there's a lot of false teaching, a lot of cultural teaching, and even in some places under the banner of the church, where the Bible was being played down, lifted up as not something that's authoritative. And so it's so important that we understand what the Bible really is. And our psalm writer will say today, in this section, these eight verses, this one stanza, he'll say with great joy that God's word, the Bible, makes me, and then he'll give us three answers. So let's look at those. First, he says, God's word, the Bible, makes me satisfied. In verse 97 and 103 of our text, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. At the end of a great meal, we push back and we're satisfied. This was good. This was so good. This was satisfying. And as we dig deeply into and feast upon the smorgasbord buffet that God's word is, we come to an understanding. We read in God's word history and prophecy and hymns and gospels and personal letters. And all of that gives us an understanding of the beauty of God's mind, how great our God is, and we're satisfied. C.S. Lewis called the engaging moral order of the divine mind. When we read in the Bible all these different types of literature that make up our Bible, we see the fullness of who God is, how wonderful he is, how gracious he is, and we're satisfied. The simple beauty and wonder of God's order. It's like enjoying a favorite meal. It's just so good. We're not left with questions. We feel full, satisfied. God is so good and his order for our world is so perfect that when the waitress asks, do you want dessert? There's no room for dessert. This meal was so good and I'm satisfied. And when we finish feasting on God's word, and the world wants to say, don't you need some of these desserts? I'm satisfied. I don't need that. In Psalm 34, King David writes, open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to him. That's Psalm 34:8. And the writer of the Hebrew letter in the New Testament speaks of those of us who partake richly of the Bible as those, quote, who have tasted the goodness of the word of God. That's Hebrews 6:5. So God's word makes us satisfied. Second, God's word, the Bible, makes me strong. You know, we need to eat well to be strong. We need to feast on God's word to be strong. From our morning text, verses 98 to 100, your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. Just as eating well provides nutrition for strong, healthy bodies, a steady diet of God's word provides spiritual nutrition to make us strong in the Lord. Attention to God's order, attention to what God is saying to us, will bring us wisdom. A wisdom that's not always understood or appreciated in this unsaved world, but a wisdom that will grant us grace and safety and security and an assurance that few people really understand. We learn and we believe that if God says no in his word, that that's for our best. And we learn and believe that if God says, do this in his word, that we will be healthier, we will be happier, we will be more fulfilled if we obey that. We learn and believe that every promise of Scripture is a promise we can trust. If God says he will do it, he will do it. So we face the trials of life, the temptations of life, the odd seasons of life, uncertain times, even death itself, with confidence and security. We begin to understand what 1 Corinthians 2:10 calls the deep things of God. And we begin to understand what 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, to know the mind of Christ. God's word makes us strong. And this gives us an understanding for life and for faith that surpasses many of the so-called wise people in our world. The Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." That's 1 Corinthians 1:25. There's so much false teaching in our world. And unfortunately, as we've mentioned today, also in the church, trying to give wise guidance that this particular behavior is normal, even though God's word calls it an abomination. There's too much false teaching in the world and even in the church trying to give wise guidance that there are many ways to God. While God in his word says that our Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. Take strength, brothers and sisters, to stand up against such false teaching. Paul said to the Philippians, "For I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ who gives me strength and power." That's Philippians 4:13. So God's word makes us satisfied, and God's word makes us strong, and finally, God's word makes us steady. Verses 101 and 102 and then 104 of our morning text. "I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path." Can we be honest? Walking the journey of this life can be difficult. It's not a cakewalk. Especially in these days we live in now. So much conflicting information swirls around us. Who do you listen to? What do you believe? So many experiences that we've never really experienced before. Can you imagine? Just a few years ago, can you imagine the thought of a friend of mine whose niece just had a baby? And an hour after the baby was delivered, a nurse came in and said, "Have you decided what sex your baby is going to be? Or are you going to wait till it's old enough to decide for itself?" The young lady told the nurse to get out. I give her credit for that. But not too many years ago, I mean, that would have been laughable. That would have been unthinkable. I said, kind of in a naughty way, I said, "Well, hold the baby up, and I'll tell you whether it's a boy or a girl. You know, it's not too hard here. I would have thought you learned that in nursing school." But can you imagine that just a few years back, that would have seemed so laughable? Today, it's the way things are happening. So many temptations to leave the Christ path. Go this way and you'll be happy. Go this way and you'll find fulfillment. But a commitment to God's word helps one develop a lifestyle where sin is less alluring and where God's ways are more delightful. It's not just that God's word is helpful to us. It isn't just God's word will help us to get by. You know, a bologna sandwich will give me nutrition and get me by. A protein bar or shake will give us nutrition and get us by. But God's word is like that great meal. It will give us a steady footing as we delight in God's word. King David writes, "You reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. In your right hand are eternal pleasures." That's Psalm 16 and verse 11. And Isaiah the prophet brings this great promise from God. Whenever you are tempted to turn to the right or the left, you will hear his voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That's Isaiah 30 and verse 21. That voice, you see, is God's word that we have savored, that we have digested, and it has become part of who we are. The Bible talks about the word being written on our hearts. Sunday school and Bible school, I hope we still help the children to memorize some simple verses. That begins a process of getting God's word in our heart. And then the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit, when we get that word in us, the Holy Spirit will help us to recall that when we're in different situations. Have you ever been in a troubling situation and all of a sudden there's a verse there? That's because that verse is written on your heart. God's word will make you steady. I love the way many in your congregation enjoy eating together on Sundays. Frank and Patsy have been my host almost every time I preach here. And often others join with us. At one time, I think we had almost the whole church there. It's good. Feast on the word and then go have a good meal together. Perfect match. So, dear ones, what is your favorite meal? Dig into a feast on God's word. And affirm with the writer of this psalm that God's word, the Bible, makes me satisfied. I don't need anything else. It makes me strong to face the attacks and the troubles that come in life's way, and it makes me steady. I can stand on the truth even when others are pulling other directions. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Let's pray, please. Lord, thank you for the taste of life. That favorite meal, that favorite dessert, that certain thing that Mama is the only one who can make it just like that. Thank you for all the goodness of this bountiful earth that looks good and smells good and tastes good and is a treat to us. Thank you for designing the world that way. And what an interesting and helpful parallel to think of your word as food, something we eat and feast on, something that makes us satisfied, something that makes us strong, something that makes us steady, and that it's good and we can savor it. And I pray that we won't let the other tugs of life pull us away from the table of the Lord and savoring your word. Thank you, Lord, for all your goodness. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be with you in every trial and stormy time, and walk with you in the sweet places of life. And may you feast on his word always. Go in his love and his care. Amen.
Amen.